You got your Bible, Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Yeah, I'm going to do my very best to give to you what God has laid upon my heart. I hope you're hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Our prayers are for Sister Peggy and her family. Her sister lost a sister last week that I know. In everything, God is a comforter. Amen. Praying for them. Amen. I don't know how people make it in this life without God. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was telling me things that had happened. And all I could do is shake my head. I didn't have a word. There's not. It's just. I thank God that he never leaves us. Amen. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Amen. If there wasn't a heaven, if there wasn't a rapture, and there wasn't a hell, I'd still want to live for God. Amen. Just to have the peace, the joy, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like it. Amen. I hope I can comfort somebody's heart again today in this house with the Word of God. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. And this is God speaking. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I'm going to listen when all this is over and you start praying. I'm going to listen. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again. Everybody say again. Into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. The 11th verse, one more time. God speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Amen. I want to preach for a little while from this title, God's Thoughts. Amen. If you could set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your voices to the Lord. I need some prayer warriors to help me pray in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice. God, let me hear you today. God, I need you in this house. Ooh, Lord, we're not promised tomorrow. And if you'll speak to me today, God, I'll hear you. God, I want to be changed. I want to grow. I want to be strengthened in you today, God. Come on, can you join up with somebody if it's appropriate? Come on, we're two or three touching, agreeing together. Gathered together. Come on, there's power in connection. There's power in unity in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, God. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here to help people. Come on, pray fervently for one more moment. God, help us in this house. God, let me understand you. God, open my eyes today. Open my ears today, God. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now in a way of worship, can you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being good to us, God. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to preach from this title. Everybody say, God's thoughts. Amen. Do you care today about what God's thinking? Amen. Does it concern you? Amen. Are you wondering what he's thinking about my life and what I'm doing? And amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe that if we got a good understanding of what God's thoughts really were, I think we could change some things. Amen. Sometimes we think of God being way far off and, amen, having no form. And we sometimes don't even think about him. I wonder what he's thinking about me today. Praise God. Some people don't want to think about what God's thinking about. Amen. But I want to know what God thinks about what I'm doing. Well, hallelujah. Amen. How can you change if you don't know what God thinks? Hallelujah. How would you know corrections to make in your life if you never knew what God thought about the path that you were on? Hey, this may just be a little Bible study today, but we're going to help somebody in this house. Amen. We're about to clarify some things in the house of God this morning. Amen. We're about to get beyond drinking milk, and we're about to eat some steak of the Word of God today. And I hope you've grown up enough where you can chew on some meat this morning. Don't always have to be patted on the back. Good little youngin', you're doing wonderful. Well, a lot of people are doing wonderful. I hope I'm doing wonderful, but if I ain't, I want to know what God thinks. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been preached about the rapture already this morning. You better be ready for the rapture. There's no way to be ready for it if you don't know what God likes and what he don't like, and what he approves of and what he disapproves of. Amen. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. Come on, do you believe we're the bride of Christ? Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There's many places in the Bible where it says that God knows our thoughts. Amen. He knows why we think what we think. Let me just go ahead and tell you, if somebody knows what you're thinking and somebody knows why you're thinking it, don't try to fool them or act like they don't. There's no need in trying to run away from somebody who knows what you're thinking and try to act like you're somebody you ain't. You might as well get real honest with God. God, you know who I am. You know my weaknesses. You know my strengths. Amen. You were there. You formed me. Amen. You know what? When you make up your mind, I want to live for you. Amen. In order to live for God, you got to start seeking out, what do you think about me, God? What do you think about what I'm doing right now? I'll go ahead and shake the tambourine for a little while. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you skip church this morning, amen, I'll tell you what he thinks about you. He thinks you ought to be in church right now. Amen. Y'all gonna let me preach for a little while? I want to preach about God's thoughts. The Bible said that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It says his ways are, everybody say higher. His ways are higher than our ways. And I totally agree with those statements. They're the word of God. But at the same time, I can tell you, after being raised in Sunday school and hearing preaching my whole life and taking the word of God and beginning to study for many, many years, amen, I can tell you, and please don't judge me. And give me some time. Don't get mad at me. But I can tell you, after studying this word of God, I can tell you a whole lot about what God thinks. Getting kind of quiet. Amen. After studying the word of God and hearing preachers preach my whole life, amen, I can tell you a whole lot about what God thinks. Amen. Because a lot of God's thoughts are recorded in this book right here. I'll go a little one step further. I tell you, there's not a whole lot of things that I have to ponder in my life and wonder. I wonder what God thinks about this, or I wonder what God thinks about that. Let me tell you why I don't have to spend time pondering about what God thinks, because I opened up His Bible and I read it from the front to the back. Amen. And I read what He likes, and I read what He don't like. Amen. And I read that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, church. You don't have to have some special kind of discernment or some special gift of the Spirit, or somebody lay their hands on you or speak a word in your ear for you to know what God's thinking. I'm telling you, about 99% of your life, if you would just open up your ears. I'm telling you, the word of God is the expression of the thoughts of God. It is the description of the holiness of God. Amen. This Bible it's a record of His covenant keeping with people. Amen. You know what? The flesh always wants a second opinion. Well, praise God. Well, amen. Do you think it would be all right? I wonder what God... No. You know, a lot of things, we already know what God thinks about it. Well, let me talk to my friends. Let me post it on Facebook and, amen, try to get some comments of what's right and what's wrong. You don't have to ask people what's right and what's wrong. He gave us a Bible where we would know what's right and what's wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care who it is. Amen. If the pulpit starts saying things are right that Bible says is wrong, that's when it's time to shake some things loose. Amen. Let me tell you about this Bible. This Bible, the Bible said it is forever settled in heaven. You know what I've been praying? I've been praying against every false prophet. I've been praying against every false doctrine that people have believed, that people have bought into. You know what I've been praying? God, let them get a hold of a Bible. Let them open it up for themselves. Let them see Acts 2:38. Let them see holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God's thoughts aren't some dark secret things. Amen, that He's trying to hide from people. Amen, God wants you to know what He's thinking. You may have never heard anything like this in your life, but I'm going to preach the way God laid it out to me. Amen, if He wanted to keep everything secret, He would have never gave us a Bible. He would have never said, study to show thyself approved. He would have never said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and quit touching the unclean, if He didn't want you to know what He's thinking about. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope this don't sound arrogant. Amen. But I can just, it don't matter what it is in life. Amen. I've got something to compare it to. I don't care if it's brand new technology. Amen. I got something to compare it to. Amen. He said, don't set any wicked thing before thine eyes. He said, whatever you bring into your tent, you will become just like it. I don't care if it's 2024, honey. Amen. You ought to know what God thinks about what we're doing. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We just need a good understanding of His Word. That's why you need to study the Bible. And don't take my, amen. Praise God. No, God gives us a pastor, but He gave you a Bible too. Amen. The day I get out of the Bible, you come tell me. And I'll show you where it's at. Before I get out of the Bible, I'll retire and start fishing. Amen. I'm not really here to win friends and influence people. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people say, I had a guy tell me, well, you're just not like other pastors. Amen. He said, me and my old pastor, we used to go fishing every week. Praise God. We'll do the math and see how much fishing I can do. Amen. At some point, I got to read the Bible. And at some point, I got to pray. And at some point, I got to study and put some things together. Hey, I hope you didn't come to church because you were looking for a friend. I hope you came to church because you wanted to be saved. Hey, if you want to be saved, you got to know what God thinks about you. Man, I realize there's people a lot more charismatic. Amen. But I'm not selling cars anyway. Praise God. Amen. The Bible used to call them wolves in sheep's clothing. Hallelujah. Dress up like a preacher. Amen. And tell you you're fine. You ain't got to change nothing. Well, that's what you call a liar. Amen. I'm praying against all the lies being told this morning in this city. I'm praying against lies being told next door. Say your own live stream. It don't matter. I wish I had a microphone that would reach this whole city, that would reach this whole county. I don't have anything to hide from anybody. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Hallelujah. You know what it took? It took a preacher that stood up and preached to me on Sunday. Hey, this is what God wants. This is what God expects. This is what God's thinking. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Man, I know what God wants in a lot of subjects. Man, I know God wants everybody to be saved. Praise God. I said God wants everybody saved. I know what God thinks about our city. The good, the bad, and the halfway good and bad. You know what he thinks? I want them to come to repentance. How do you know what God's thinking? I opened up his word and I read what his expressed thoughts are. How do you know that's God thinking? Well, the Bible said, amen, that men wrote as the Spirit moved upon them. Amen, this ain't a man's book. This is God's book. Amen, it ain't 20 or 30 different authors. There's one author of this book, and it's God. He would move upon prophets and holy men. Amen. And they would write. What were they writing? They were writing what God thought. Well, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait and see if the preacher preaches about it. Well, that's a problem. Amen. We're only here a little bit of time. Amen. You got to get the Bible for yourself. What the preaching ought to do is confirm what you've been reading all week. Amen. The preaching ought to be the cherry on the top to what you've been eating and chewing on all week long. Amen. I want to know what God thinks. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, why don't you pray right now? God, open my understanding. Yahweh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know what God's thoughts are about church attendance. These ain't my thoughts. This is God's thoughts. God moved upon a man, and that man wrote, "Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves." Even more, it ought to be more important to you as you see that day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Can you not see that our world looks a whole lot more like Sodom and Gomorrah than it does Plymouth Rock? Can you see the day approaching? Amen. That our world is in a mess. Amen. What does the Bible say? When you see that day, you better make sure you're at church on Sunday morning. You better make sure you kick the covers off. And say, I'm tired. You know, I got this disease and I got that disease. And, well, I got some of them too. Everybody's got some of them. And I got this other disease called old age. It's creeping up. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this ankle hurts sometimes. It was hurting this morning. Well, I think I'll just... No, I care what God thinks. Hallelujah. Kind of quiet in this house this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been reading this book about Brother Verbal Beans, his wife at the time when they had the accident. And I was reading about their revivals, and they would go 30 days in a row. 30 nights in a row they would have church. And when they felt like they got to a breakover point, they would start taking Mondays off. And one day, Brother Verbal Bean and some other preacher went to L.A., just to sightsee. While they're there, Brother Bean says, "I hope we didn't miss it by canceling church tonight." Praise God. Amen. And we got 3 scheduled services and a prayer meeting. Boy, it sure is quiet. Maybe I'll look this way for a little while. Amen. Praise God. And every excuse in the world, I've heard them all, and I know some of them are legitimate, and I know people can't get out of work sometimes. Amen. But getting out of work and getting out of bed are 2 different things. Well, praise God. Did you know I'm going to stand there someday at the judgment, and I'm going to give an account? Did you know I don't lie? Hallelujah. The books are good. I hope this is okay. They're going to open the books, is what the Bible said, and they're going to start going through the books. I don't know if I'll be on this side, that side, behind you. It doesn't appear how it's going to happen yet, but I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to give an account. I got a feeling they're going to read the book, and they're going to look over at me and say, "Did you tell them?" You know what I'm going to say? I sure did. You know why? Because I'm not going to get cast out. Nobody's going to mess up my retirement. I got a mansion already built on a street of gold. There ain't going to be no blood on these hands. I'm going to love you, but I'm going to preach it. Why you? Because if you don't know what God's thinking, you're going to say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know you thought church was important. And then God's going to say, I think you did. Praise God. Who knows? He may hit the replay button and just play the preaching for a little while. I can't stand to hear myself preach. I tried to listen one time to critique myself. I turned it off. I thought, God, I feel sorry for all the people. Got to listen to that. But anyway, who knows? They may hit play one day when we get to heaven and you're sitting in the hot seat for judgment. They play the service. That it was, I don't know why I'm harping on this. I got a whole lot of stuff to preach about. Amen. But they're going to hit the play button and maybe let it hear the voice come back. The same voice you heard preaching. Oh, God. I want to know what God thinks. I may not like what he thinks, but I want to know what he thinks. Amen, because if I know what he thinks, I can take my flesh by the nape of the neck and say, you ain't going to do it like you want to do it. You're going to do it like God wants you to do it. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got so much. I know what God thinks about salvation, how it takes to be saved. This is people always ask me, you know, well, I know what you preach, but, you know, they preach something different, and that they preach something different, and they preach something different. And then the Pope just said like a month ago, every religion is a pathway to God. He said, don't you believe the Pope? No, I don't. I believe God. Amen. I don't care what the Pope's thoughts are. I care what God's thoughts are. Amen. I can tell you what God's thoughts are about how to make it to heaven. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Did he stop right there? He might as well stop, because a lot of people think you ain't got to be baptized. Matter of fact, people not very far from us say, you ain't got to be baptized. Just believe in your heart. Well, I don't care what they think. I care what God thinks about it. Amen. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world, people. We got to get our eyes higher than humanity. He said, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God's thoughts are, honey, if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name, and if you don't get full of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. And if that's what God thinks, that's what I think. Amen. If that's what God's thoughts are, that's what I'm going to preach. I don't want to preach a different thought process than God preaches. Well, hallelujah. I was just trying to make a few examples before I started preaching. I know what God thinks about what's right when family starts trying to pull people from church. I've had people ask me, well, my brother and my sister and my daddy and my mama and all this stuff. And they say, well, what do you think, you know? It don't matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. I've always told people this is how you make decisions in your life. If you'll be more spiritual by making that decision, that's a good decision. But if you're going to go backwards, That's a bad decision. I don't care if you're marrying, you're getting a job, or going to school. I don't care what you're doing. You need to weigh everything out with what God thinks. Yes. Amen. This is what God thinks. He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Can I preach to you what God thinks about this whole deal? Well, I just want to make peace at home. I'm just going to skip church. I don't want my husband mad at me or my wife mad at me. I don't want to go against mom or daddy. Amen. You're trying to please the wrong person. Hallelujah. Before you were somebody else's child, you were God's child. Before you were somebody's bride, you were God's bride. Before you were somebody else's husband, you belong to God. Amen. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Amen. He said, think not that I am come to send peace. He said, I didn't come to send peace. He was saying, well, I just want to make peace. Well, God didn't say that. That's your thoughts. It ain't God's thoughts. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I brought a sword. You know what this is? This is a sword. Well, have you ever read it? This is what it does. He said, I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Bible said a man's foes, talking about his enemies, shall be they of his own household. This is what the Bible said. This is God's thoughts. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You know what God's thoughts are? Amen. Get along with your family. Amen. But don't let them drag you out of church. If it comes down to it, you take the word of God out and you use it like a sword. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Tell you what God's thoughts are. Amen. Family is so influential. I understand. I've got family, and I know all that. I got a lot of them. Amen. And a lot of them are living for God, and I'm so thankful for it. But if they all quit today, I'm not going with them. You got to have a made-up mind. Amen. Before a relationship on earth, you better have a relationship with God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. There was a lady named Carly Robinson that went to church in North Little Rock, and her husband would slap her and beat her for going to church, and she just kept going on to church. Amen. And one day he pulled out a gun and said, you're not going to church today. Praise God. You got to care more about what he thinks than he thinks. She said, I'm either going to church or going to heaven. You make up your mind. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. When you care more about what... Well, my children quit church. I feel like I don't want to rock the boat. I'll just stay home with them. I hope we can get more mature spiritually. Well, it makes him, my husband, uncomfortable when I go to church and he don't. And I got the Holy Ghost and he don't. I'm trying to make peace in my home. You're not making peace. You're going to be lost is what you're going to do. And let me tell you what the Bible said. If you'll just keep living for God, the Bible said he'll be sanctified by your righteous living. You know what it's saying? If you just keep living right, God will work on him. God will get a hold of him. God will... Hey, I know what I'm preaching right now. Amen. Hallelujah. I was the guy. Praise God. I was the guy. For years, my wife would go to church, and I didn't want to go to church. I'd go every now and then to make peace. Praise God. One day she got mad and said, well, if you ain't going to go, me and the kids ain't going to go. I think she was just playing with me, doing reverse psychology on me. And I got up and I said, oh, yeah, you are going to church. You know what? She'd go to church and I'd be listening to the ball game. God be working on me. Praise God. She'd come home, go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep. Why? God's working on me. Her righteous living was rocking my world. Amen. Hey, don't quit to please somebody else. You'll both go to hell. Along with a bunch of other people, make up your mind. I care more about what God thinks than what any man thinks. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Turn up, I say. Amen. I know a lot of what God's thoughts are just by knowing God's word, the parts that I do know. Amen, I know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know the job of the enemy is to try to get you mixed up about what God thinks. If he's got one, you could say, weapon that he uses, and it's to try to get people mixed up about what God thinks about them. It began in the garden when God's thoughts were clearly given to a man named Adam. You can have anything you want except that. Amen. They knew what God's thoughts were about. When the enemy come and began to ask her, what did God say about that now? Well, he said, we can't eat of that one. What does the enemy have to do to get somebody to mess up? He has to confuse you about what God thinks. They're in churches all over this city, Daddy, confused about what God thinks. If you'll just read this little prayer, say it out loud. Amen. Ooh, you just received the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm thinking I've read this Bible front to back, and then I've read it back to front, and then I've read it chronologically, and then I read it categorically, and then I read it by subject, and then I've read it, and I've read it, and I've listened, and I've listened and read it, and I've never heard that. But every time God, man, wanted to save somebody, it was the same thing. It was repent of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, how do I know I got the Holy Ghost? The Pope told me I had the Holy Ghost. Well, the Pope don't know what he's talking about. This is how I know he don't know what he's talking about. Because he talks about goofy stuff all the time. Jesus said the wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound. Everybody see the sound. I've never heard the Pope talk about the sound. I never heard Protestants talk about the sound. And he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What he's saying is, when you're born again, there's going to be a sound. Really? Yeah, did you not read the book of Acts when the Holy Ghost came into the room and they all began to speak with other tongues? Speaking is a sound. Amen. The Jews didn't know what the Holy Ghost was going to be. They just were there seeking after it. Amen. And it came down with a sound. And it ain't long, they're at the Gentile's house, Cornelius' house, and they're preaching the same gospel. And while he's preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on them. And then the Jews say, you know what? This is the shocker of my life. I thought these were the unclean. We were. But they're saying, they got the Holy Ghost just like we did, for we. What did he say? For we hear them speak with tongues. The Jews knew when that sound came, the Holy Ghost was there. Amen. You know what? Our world's thoughts about speaking in tongues, I've heard people say it's of the devil. And then the religious people say, well, that's just a special gift for a few people. And then some people say, I don't think it takes all that. And you know, and everybody's got a thought. Everybody's got an opinion. Amen. But Jesus said, so is everyone. Everyone that is born of the Spirit will have the sound. Now, when you begin to care what God thinks, you're going to say, if I want to be saved, I'm going to have to pray until that sound comes. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I didn't come to preach about none of that. This is what I come to preach about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If the enemy can get you mixed up about what God's thoughts are, amen, he's got you. And if he can get you mixed up about what God thinks about you, he can get you mixed up about what God thinks about you when you've messed up. This is what I come to preach about. Y'all gonna help me for 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Oh, I got 15 minutes. Praise God. Maybe longer than that, who knows? Do you care about what God thinks? Can we solidify some things in this room? Amen. What people think don't matter. It's what God's thoughts are. It's what matters. Amen. From the time of Moses writing the law until the carrying away into Babylon, there was about 900 years that passed by. You talking about long suffering. Say, how long was God going to deal with me? I don't know. Amen. But I do have some precedent that he is long-suffering. And in this 900 years, there were men of God, that prophets that would come and they would preach and they would give them warnings and they would say, Israel, if you don't stop sinning, you're going to be in trouble. Amen. Don't ever get tired of somebody preaching against sin. Amen. This is of God right now. And then another prophet would come and he would say, Israel, if you don't get rid of that idol, there's a day coming you're going to wish you'd have never saw that. Amen. Then another prophet would come. Israel, Judah, you better stop doing what you're doing. 900 years they were warned. Amen. And all of a sudden, let me tell you about the flesh. This is what the Bible said. Because execution of judgment don't happen speedily, the hearts of men are set to do evil. What that kind of means is because when you play with sin and you don't get slapped, something happens in your mind thinking, oh, I can do that again. I can skip again. I can, whatever, you can fill in the blanks. I don't know. Maybe there ain't no blank. Because judgment don't come quickly, it makes the heart think, boy, I'm getting by. 900 years later, I'm going to tell you, it happened. And God said, let me tell you about warnings. Warnings are not to make you make temporary changes. I don't know if that went across. Warnings are not for you to make
one-time trips to the altar. You got me today. And then go do what you were doing. Warnings are to make permanent changes in your life. Amen. If you didn't make a permanent change, the warning didn't do you no good. I would say, matter of fact, the warning did you no good. It did you harm. If you heeded the warning for 30 seconds and went back to the old ways. After 900 years, here they are. God said, I've been warning you forever. Now you're about to get a whooping. Praise God. Did you know there's lots of times when the flesh just needs a good whipping sometimes? Praise God. I'm sure I'm preaching to the internet, but y'all ought to at least amen me so they know we're in agreement. Hallelujah. Amen. The warnings happened, and finally God said, okay, here we go. He strengthens their enemy. The enemy comes and gets them, takes them into exile into Babylon. Amen. You know what Babylon was for Israel? It was a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call that God really means what he says. Amen. Well, that's enough preaching right there. Amen. That's bigger, biggest nugget. God means what he says. Yeah. If you don't get nothing else, that'd be a good thing to just get. God means exactly what he says. Amen. And they go into exile, and it's a wake-up call. Psalms 137 would record their condition when they get there. By the rivers of Babylon, the Bible says, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. You know what they were saying? When they sat down in captivity and bondage, and they realized, amen, they started remembering what it was like to be free in the church. You tell me, the most miserable people are backsliders. And that's why you got to be careful. Amen. Don't judge them. Don't say harsh things to them. They're like animals that are cornered. They're like Israelites sitting on the river in Babylon, and they're upset, and they remember in Zion. He said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of them songs of Zion. That's what they're doing in the honky-tonks when they figure out you used to be a church-goer. Hey, sing me that Amazing Grace song. I feel Jesus in this place. And their response to their captors was this: how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Amen. Everybody has Babylon moments. You ain't got to raise your hand. I prayed, and this is what God told me. Amen. Everybody goes through moments. Some of them are severe. Some of them not real severe. Amen. But we all go through things that God has to shake us up. Babylon is not something that you hang your head over. That Babylon is a place, if you end up there, it needs to be a place where you start thinking about what it was like in Zion. Babylon is a dangerous place because if you ain't careful, Babylon will take you even further down than what God intended for you to go. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. The danger is that Babylon, if you don't get your thoughts right, when you end up in Babylon, you're going to end up further away than you were in the first place. Hey, I'm preaching. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe everybody in this room. And I want to tell you, when you end up in trouble, don't let your mind go the wrong way. Make sure you start looking back toward Jerusalem and think, you know what? One of these days, God's going to bring me out of this mess. I want to preach, Babylon doesn't come because God hates you. Babylon doesn't happen because God hates you. Babylon comes because God loves you. Can you take some meat for five more minutes? Can you chew on this for a little while? Have you ever thought about the times that you were in a mess? It wasn't because God hated you. Every time you got sick, wasn't because God hated you. Every trial in your life wasn't because God hated you. But Babylon came because God loved them. Hebrews would tell us, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Praise God. Amen. I should have waited till somebody invited me to preach somewhere else. Preach it. Everyone that the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And the Bible said, if you endure chastening, God deals with you like a son. I just can't go back to church. I'm so embarrassed. Grow up. Grow up. Let God do something in your life. Somebody told me I just can't go back to that church because I got into it with that person. You know what I told them? When you get to where you want to go, you're still going to be there. And you'll find somebody to fight with there too. You can either... You can either look in the Word of God and say, hey, God, change me. Or you can just bounce, 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 bounce. Do the apostolic tour. I'm going to find somewhere where they love me more. No, you're not. You're going to find mean people everywhere you go. And if it's a real man of God, he's going to preach the gospel to you. Now, if he makes you feel good, well, it's really quiet in here today. I care about what God thinks. He said if you endure it, he's going to deal with you like a son. But for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Did you get that? You don't even belong to him if he can't whoop you. If he's not allowed to correct you, you're not his. And if you're not his, well, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. He's saying your daddy whooped you when you wouldn't be quiet, and you honor him today. But when God whips you, you'll go. Can I read on? The father of your flesh corrected you, and you gave him reverence. Shall you not much rather be in subjection unto the father of spirits and live? For they, talking about your daddy, barely for a few days chastened us with after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know what I'm saying? When God whips you, he's got something good going to come out of it. When God puts you through a trial, you're going to come out good, my friend. But you just got to be. Come on, I'm going to preach to you what God's thoughts are. Hallelujah. Now, the writer says, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. I'm not selling snake oil. I'm not telling you trials make you go, woo! So glad I'm in this trial. Amen. The brighter the Bible said it's not joyous, but it's grievous. But nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you just walk through it and say, thank you, Lord, change me. Whatever needs to be changed. About, hallelujah. Praise God. I knew people wouldn't jump, but amen. But you know what? When God whips somebody, when God corrects somebody, he's got something good that's going to come out of it. So this is what he said to do. He said, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. This is what God's thoughts are about Babylon. When you're in Babylon, don't hang your harp on a willow. Don't let your hands... I can just about tell when somebody's going through something. This is what God's thoughts are about it. He said, lift up your hand. Hey, if you're going through a trial, nobody ought to have to drag you to an altar. You ought to... Come on. He said it's time to get them feeble knees and get them... He said when you're in Babylon, that's when you need to make the path straight. What are you talking about, God? When you're in Babylon, you need to start thinking about where I got off track. When you're going through the trial, you need to be going through your mind. Where did I mess up? I ain't never going to do that again from here on out. He said, if you don't get your path straight when you're in Babylon, instead of being healed, he said, you're going to get sicker. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. This is God's thoughts about your trial. Hey, man, don't get on Facebook and complain about everything. Run everybody down. When you're in the trial, think about how you got there. Think about where you got off track. Amen. The Bible said a righteous man falls 7 times. And he just stays where he's at. I guess it must be God's perfect number 7 for me to be off track. Don't you know that number 7? I feel like you are way too superstitious. Amen. Everything that's spoken, it doesn't have 4 different meanings. Some of it just means what it says. A righteous man falls down and he gets back up. And he falls down and he gets back up. And he falls down and he gets back up. And he falls and he gets back on track. When he ends up in Babylon, he starts looking back to the altar. Said, hey, I want to get back. He told him, amen, stand together with me. Amen. Since you're standing, I can finish my message now. Some people, when they're in Babylon, they try to discern God's thoughts. Well, he must hate me. He must be finished with me because I'm going through this, God don't love me. And I've watched people try to tell God what he's thinking. I've heard people pray to God what God's thoughts were, about what they thought God's thoughts were. But I'm going to tell you what God said. The Brother Clyde, this is what God said. He said, I know my thoughts. You know what he was saying? I'm putting you on notice. Don't put words in my mouth. Now I'm talking about while they were in Babylon. While they were in the trial of their life. While they were getting the whipping of their life. I'm not talking about before. I'm talking about in Babylon. God said, I know the thoughts I think toward you. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you how God thinks. When God starts something, that Bible said he don't quit halfway through it. When God begins a good work, he don't say, nah, I think I'll find somebody else. The Bible said he's going to complete what he starts. You know what he was doing with Babylon? It was just a part of the process. I know my thoughts. While he's whipping them, while they're in captivity, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said then, talking about when I bring you back home. Boy, I hope every backslider's listening to me today. He's saying after it's accomplished and I bring you back, you're going to start praying and I'm going to hearken unto you. And you shall koko shata. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I want to know if God whipped you, are you mad at him? Are you bitter? Or can you open your mouth and start crying out to him with all your heart? He said, I'm going to be found of you, saith the Lord. I'm going to turn away your captivity. I'm going to gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I'm going to bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You know what God's thoughts are? This is what God dealt with me about. I want to reconnect with him. Santa. God's thoughts are, I want that prayer life they used to have. I want it reignited. Come on, don't put thoughts in God's mind. Don't you think what God thinks. Let God think what he wants to think. He said, I want to restore. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Somebody needs to get a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. Come on, Sarah. Can you hear the voice of the Savior today? Come on, I don't want it to be a tragic end. I want it to be an expected. Itolo. Iso. Come on, pour your heart out. All across this house. Come on, you may be in the fire of your life. I understand it's grievous. Oh, but hold on. Hold on, my friend, till the fruits. Till the fruits of righteousness return. Come on, pray until the Holy Ghost begins to pray through you. Come on, this would be a good time to make your calling and your election sure. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, God's been thinking about you. Come on, that's why he told Hezekiah, this sickness is not unto death. Itana must say, this trial is not forever. This fiery furnace is going to open the door. Come on, let God accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Come on, don't resist him. Come on, don't fight against him. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Come on, pour your heart out to him. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. Come on. Come on, can you open your understanding today? Come on, don't go deeper into Babylon. Come on, don't go deeper into depression. Come on, don't go deeper into fear. Come on, turn your heart towards Zion. Come on, turn your heart toward the day God called you. Come on, reach for him. Hallelujah. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ta-ta.